You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Tuesday, 10th day of July here, 2018. Big news this morning, in case you haven't heard it. Yeah, the Thai military rescued the last... the last of the soccer team in that cave. So, awesome news. The sad news is that one member of the rescue team perished in doing so. And so, you know, I'm curious about the forensics on that. How did that happen? How did somebody with that kind of experience? What happened for them to lose their life? So I've been thinking about it. You know, we go in to do this thing, right? And we're working on this thing, blah, 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 blah. And then we're kind of working our way to the site where they are. We're prepping the route now, and somehow or other, what happens so that he loses his life? As we, because we normally plan pretty well for this kind of stuff. So, anywho, the only blemish on otherwise, you know, and maybe we expect too much. Maybe given the circumstances involved in this, most of us don't understand the danger involved. So So congratulations to the Thai military. If you've been around the Marine Corps, certainly for any period of time, you've spent some time in Thailand, probably done an exercise called Cobra Gold there. If you haven't seen the pictures of Marines drinking blood from snakes there, they're great, great, great images. That's right. That's right. So a lot of good stuff happens over there. So so good morning to you. The other big news from last night, the president nominates his candidate for the Supreme Court of the United States, and now we do the hysteria and all the craziness that goes with it. So again, I think it's very concerning if you're a spectator of the democracy to watch some of the things that are happening in terms of people being harassed. And in my opinion, the stuff that we saw in Charlottesville, if you go back and think about that, and I've talked about this before, but to me, we're seeing more of that element of the political spectrum emboldened. And it's kind of interesting the way it works, because the two parties, which comprise the majority of those under the bell curve, because they can't work together, then what you have is you have the fringes emboldened, because you need the fringes, because you're not going to cross party lines, right? So you got to embrace the far right, and you got to embrace the far left, and now they wag the dog, as opposed to, wait a minute, look at the bell curve, all those people that have minor that have minor quabbles in terms of intellectual positions and political positions. Excuse me, they can't get together and enact policy. The answer to that is no. Okay. So now what are we left with? Well, now we got to accommodate the people on the fringes. Yikes, not them. Exactly. Exactly. So that's what we're left with. American politics. No compromise. The interesting part, the interesting part is that thing that we saw in Charlottesville was those elements, the far right and the far left, that both embrace violence and physical intimidation as a tactic in terms of shutting you up. So I think it's, I don't know that I've ever kind of seen people's rights to speak trampled and people accosted physically as they go about life. So I think it's pretty disturbing. And I think what's even more disturbing is the people that, the Maxine Waters of the world, that call for this kind of tactic. I think the only thing that we're certain of as we go down this trail is, at some point, one of the idiots amongst us is going to do something idiotic, and we're all going to say, oh, how did this happen? How did this happen? And it's sad that the people that lead our country are incapable of doing that. And let me tell you, the president has more than enough share of the blame in terms of the things he says. But I think you cross a different line when you, in terms of decorum, when you call for the harassment of public officials in public because you don't get your way politically. And so, again, I guess in the fishbowl world that we live in, I've yet to hear anything about the president's nominee for the Supreme Court that would render him unfit for the office. He has a long, long, long record. All right? He has a long, long record as a judge. And so there used to be a day that it was your fitness for office, and the president certainly had his right to make his appointment. So are you fit for office? That has changed now, and now it is, do we agree with your appointment? Yeah. Do we agree with it? Do we concur? And so it's now the 24-hour news cycle is, this is what it's about. This is what it loves, and that is fuel-injected craziness so that it can bring it to you in the breathless way that it does. Can you imagine the Situation Room today? Yeah, the Situation Room is going to be crazy. Wolf Blitzer, he may pass out right in the middle of it. But this is how it gets great. Doesn't have anything to do with the dialogue in this country. Doesn't. So again, it's the pathetic leadership event. I struggled to even call it that. Because it's not a leadership event. It is the pathetic state of affairs that the United States Congress finds itself in and those who lead the nation on both sides of the aisle. It is, you cannot cooperate, you cannot do the people's business. For instance, I believe it was last night, a judge decided that families cannot be detained once they're reunited. So the law of the nation here is when you come to the United States, right, and you cross illegally, you have to be set free. You have to be set free because we can't hold you because you came with children. What an awesome thing, right? So, and then you just don't show up. That's the law of the land. And our elected leaders think that that's okay. Yeah, we're okay with that. So, I think it's pathetic. And I think our nation is becoming a pathetic entity that has leaders that in no way, shape, or form stand up and lead. You have a leaderless nation. And I'm talking specifically about the legislative branch. It is sad. I think it's sad. So let me tell you what we're going to do today. We are going to, as always, we'll check the news. But in about 17 minutes, we're going to talk to Jeremiah Workman for about 15 minutes. And he doesn't really know what we're going to talk about. And then we're going to talk to Bob Nielsen for about 15 minutes. So we won't be able to check the news for about, I don't know, an hour or so. But I'm curious. And then I'm hopeful that we'll talk to one other person this morning. I'm just curious about their thoughts on alcohol and post-traumatic stress. I've been thinking about it. Now, I'm not one who believes in, I don't want to say intolerance because that's not the right word. I guess I am a teetotaler. I'm not a drinker, right? I will drink socially if so moved, but by and large, you'll probably see me drinking a Pepsi or a Coke with a lime in it. So, and the lime is a key thing. That way anybody who would harass me for not drinking sees the lime and assumes it's alcohol. It's a good trick if you don't feel like drinking. You could do it with 7-Up as well. They think you're drinking gin and tonic. So anywho, alcohol, post-traumatic stress is a toxic cocktail. And, you know, it's kind of like unmarine-like when you begin to go down that road. And the first thing you would say is like, hey, I'm going to give you some advice. The first thing you need to do, stop drinking. But I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks, and I've come to that conclusion that if you want to deal with that issue, the first thing you need to do, stop drinking. So I thought, well, let me just bring some people on and one question interview. Talk to me about your thoughts about alcohol and post-traumatic stress. So that's what we're going to do. So Jeremiah Workman is going to join us in 14 minutes, and then Bob Nielsen is going to join us, two people that have been around post-traumatic stress for a while, and Bob Nielsen is going to join us. So sit back, relax, enjoy the morning, and we're going to talk about alcohol and post-traumatic stress. And then I'm hopeful I'll get an email back from my boy Luke, and we'll get his thoughts about it as well. So, and if, I'd be curious if you have any strong feelings about it. Let me know, because it's not one of those things that you, like you hear on this program all the time. I wanted to talk to Ken Rogers, right? Vietnam guy, Kaesan guy, made Bravo, because he rolled around angry and intoxicated for a long time. Email. Good morning, Mac. I watched the episode on Smithsonian Channel about the USS Barb. That was completely incredible. The skipper had some big brass ones. Very good story on a sub I had no knowledge of. Thanks for the heads up. Be well. Dave and Vacaville. I never heard that story. The Submariners, man, they keep their stuff private. The USS Barb, look it up. On the Smithsonian Channel, you'll find it. Dave found it. USS Barb, Smithsonian Channel. It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, what that guy did, he was a warrior. He wasn't just a Submariner. He was I go to war in this boat, but now there's no ships to sink anymore, so what are we going to do? And he came up with all these different ways to put a hurt on the Japanese. And, he says later in life, he's kind of an interesting guy. The thing I'm most proud of, though, is not one member of my crew was ever injured. Nobody received a Purple Heart. So, but it's interesting. You'll find it on the Smithsonian Channel. So there you have it. All right. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official this morning on Tuesday. Good morning to you. Dedicated to the military of the nation of Thailand. Nice going there, boys and girls. Well done.
Good You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You gotta win.
/7:23 on the west coast of the United States. Icky and humid west coast of the United States. We don't say that very often, but saying it last night was disgusting, okay? Yeah, when you have to turn the air conditioner on, you're like, what in the world is going on here? Anyway, sunny in 85 in Quantico. So getting warmer on the east coast again. Sunny in 79 at Camp Lejeune. Clouds in 80 in Granbury, Texas. Mostly sunny in 71 in Montana, so Montana getting warm up there. They cracked 70 degrees for 8:25 in the morning. That's normally a sign of hot temperatures up there. 29 Palms is partly cloudy in 76, so they've cooled off. Camp Pendleton warmed up, partly cloudy 72. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 82 degrees with a couple weather warnings. Helmand Province of Afghanistan. Interesting story today about Afghanistan. We'll talk about that. Army's getting a new physical fitness test. Yeah, pretty interesting one, as a matter of fact. But it's 109 late in the day in the Helmand Province of Afghanistan. And currently, at the home of All Marine Radio, cloudy, 73 degrees. Looking for a high today of only 84. Thank God. Dial the humidity down, for heaven's sakes, man. Stuff's not right. 84 tomorrow and 82 on Thursday. So that is that's a look at your weather. I'll give you a few news headlines that we'll talk about today. Kind of some interesting stuff in the news, in addition to what's happened in Thailand. So we'll talk about that this morning, but just a couple of headlines. Secretary of State stopped in Afghanistan for an unannounced visit and is pushing peace talks. So not sure what's going on there. You haven't read a whole lot about it in the news, but whatever's going on there was significant enough for him to go from North Korea to Afghanistan simply to lend his presence. So that's interesting. President is off to Europe to talk NATO. So you'll see that as the whole world trumpets. The whole world trumpets. Trumpet's probably the wrong word, but the whole world broadcasts that the President of the United States is interested in destroying NATO. I think his message is pay your money, make it strong, make it formidable, so when we need it, it's there. And one other story, commentary. This is a commentary in Navy Times. Two more stories. Iraq endures the crucible and emerges transformed. So it's kind of interesting. I mentioned this just yesterday that, you know, you fight in these places and now it's off the radar, right? Well, this is the most important time. You fought. You've done the fighting to get to this place. But, you know, in the United States, we're not as focused on what is going on in Iraq. This is phase four. This is when you win. Okay? You fight to get to this point so that you can win, so that you can achieve the end state that you went to war for, yet it kind of falls off our radar. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. And then one more headline. Taliban ceasefire halted fighting, but not the Marine Corps mission in Helmand. So we'll talk about that. The ceasefire in Afghanistan. What's going on there? Is that legit? Is it not legit? So now what you're going to hear next, though, we'll take a break. Jeremiah Workman's going to join us. If you haven't heard Jeremiah Workman's interview, then write down the word Workman, W-O-R-K-M-A-N. Go to the website and do a search on that and listen to anything that has his name on it. He did one of the best interviews I've ever heard with anybody who's gone through the experience of trauma. And the guilt he felt because he didn't bring all of his Marines home. And the courage that he shows consistently by talking about it and always motivates me, inspires me to do stuff. So he's going to join us. And he doesn't even know the question yet. But the question is going to be alcohol and post-traumatic stress. Do they mix? Or should it just be you have to stop? You have to stop because when you booze it, you unleash the beast, the monkeys. Yeah. The key for the monkeys to get out of the cage, one of them is booze. So we'll take a quick break. We'll get him on the phone. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I missed some email yesterday, so so let me catch up on some email, then we'll check some news headlines, and then we'll talk to Michael Musselman. There you have it. It's called Road Trip. So on my 13-plus hour drive to escape the bro country, the wife was playing on the radio, and whatever electric dance escaped from my boy's domain in the back seat, I had my earbuds in listening to All Marine Radio on the way to Florida. Duffy White, Tim Lynch, Tom Drowdy, General Mattis, General Neller. I had missed a lot of them live due to work interruptions. Awesome stuff to make drive tolerable. Thank you for what you do. You're welcome. That's why we do it. So I'm driving up I-65 near Montgomery and see a sign, Confederate Park and Museum, next exit. Turns out it's a small park and well-kept museum cemetery built on the grounds of an old Confederate veteran's home. 313 vets and 15 widows buried there. The museum was tended by a full-bearded millennial ranger that could have easily passed for one of the Alabama boys running up the slopes of Little Round Top. The museum was small but had a nice display of rifles, pistols, and battle flags, as well as a lot of historical stuff about the retirement home itself. When driving through Nashville, I started twitching when I saw the signs that read Spring Hill Battlefield and Franklin Battlefield, but there was no time to stop. I will save that for a Labor Day adventure. Throw in Shiloh as well. Keep it up. All that stuff is a part of the culture, right? And I love doing it. Those discussions, the people that you mentioned. My dad took me when he was managing in the A's minor league system. My dad was in Major League Baseball, but when he was in the minor leagues, I was probably 9 or 10. And he was managing in Birmingham, Alabama. Yeah, if you could imagine, in like 1968. Yeah, so off we go to Birmingham, Alabama to spend the summer. And that's right in the middle of the civil rights events in Alabama. So anyway, they go on a road trip to Montgomery, Alabama. And I think my mom made him take me. My mom made him take me because I loved the Civil War. And we went to the, there's a museum, I want to say in the basement of the Capitol building in Montgomery. There's a star on the steps of the Capitol where Jefferson Davis gave the inaugural address. And so I have a fond memory of going to the, you know, even at that young age, history excited me. And so going to the museum in Montgomery, Alabama. So interesting stuff. There's another one called The Gunner Is Right. And this is in reference to yesterday. I asked the gunner. It's really a crappy story, but it got even worse as we were talking. So the story went like this. I see a headline that says 2-year-old dies by self-inflicted gunshot wound on after he found his mother's pistol and shot himself in the head. And the story came from Houston. So I want to ask Mike what he tells people relative to their responsibility to teach their kids about guns, whether they have guns in the house or not. In my opinion, it's like teaching your kids how to swim. So Mike's response was Mike's response. All right, I'll leave it at that. Here's the email. The gunner's right, exclamation mark, no less. Stupid parents thin the herd all the time. Think of the ones that drive recklessly with their kids in the car, I think he meant. How many kids get killed that way? The parents that allow a toddler to drown in a pool, poisonous products under the sink, opiates in the medicine cabinet. If you're stupid enough to leave a loaded gun around a toddler, then don't be surprised when you win a stupid, tragic prize. The gunner is right about the narrative. The left gleefully uses these awful stories to push the anti-gun agenda, while the stories about the lawful use of guns to defend families don't get much press. And again, I don't even want to go about the left and the media and all the rest of that stuff. I don't want to go there. My question was, do you consider it your responsibility when this, so you're out with friends, somebody brings this subject up, I saw the worst story, and then somebody immediately says, I'd never have a gun in my house, I don't want my kids to have anything to do with guns. Do you feel a responsibility to say, hey, I completely understand your sentiment, but can I offer you some advice? Now, they could say no, but look, I'm going to give it anyway. You have a responsibility to teach your kids about weapons. Okay? Just like you have a responsibility to teach them how to swim, because there may be a gun in a nightstand, a shotgun under a bed, and kids are curious. And if you don't, teach your kids about them, then there is a chance that your kid's going to either die, be substantially injured, or have those things happen to somebody else and then be a part of it. Trust me, you don't want that. So find somebody that will take your kids out and show them how destructive guns are. And make sure your kids have those images in their heads so that they will, without a doubt, respect them. So that was a discussion that we had. So there's somebody backing up the gunner. And then an email, a gunner said he didn't even like kids playing with play guns. He goes, I didn't play with play guns. You're talking to a guy who, like, used a pellet gun or a .22 to shoot a crow off a wire, and the cops came to his house. Used a bow and arrow to shoot the Tijuana trolley in San Diego. Okay? And then he says, I never played. And so this email is about cowboys and Indians. Come on, Gunner. We all played that game. See? And he'll come on and he'll spin that for us. All right. Before we talk to him here in a few minutes, let's get to some news headlines. Secretary of State in Afghanistan. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo used an unannounced trip to Afghanistan on Monday to step up the Trump administration's call for peace talks between the Afghan government and the Taliban. Flying to Kabul after visiting Vietnam, Pompeo made the appeal in meetings with Afghan President Ashraf Ghani and Chief Executive Abdullah Abdullah. So anyway, interesting that he would take the time to lend the prestige of his office to that. So not sure what's going on there, but he would not go for no reason. I know that's a double negative, but get your secret decoder ring out and figure it out. Do you remember that story about Fitbits being worn by service members? Okay, a few months ago. Headline: Polar Fitness app broadcasted sensitive details of intelligence and service members. Military officials are working at nuclear weapons facilities, FBI, NSA employees, Americans in the sensitive green zone in Baghdad. These are some of the military or intelligence officials who could be identified using public data from the popular Polar Flow fitness platform, according to an investigation by the news website Bellingcat and the Dutch news agency De Correspondant. The public data could be a goldmine of sensitive information and represents one of the largest open source security vulnerabilities for the Department of Defense. Since a similar lapse was found in the Strativa exercise app in January. You know what? It's hard for me to believe. All right. That this did not get dealt with when the Strativa thing happened months ago. Bellingcat, which is the investigative news agency, was able to pinpoint the name of a high-ranking officer at a base known to host nuclear weapons. It took just a few clicks using the Polar Flow app and other information found on the Internet. And this is all, you know, you put that information when you're, you know, when you're joining their website and you're all excited because it's going to measure how many steps you take, your pulse, all the rest of that stuff. Yeah, those things ought to be outlawed in the DOD. Sorry about that. President's leaving for Europe, so it'll be interesting to see what happens out of that. The Chicken Little crowd. Is screaming and yelling now. He wants to do away with NATO. He wants to bring our troops home. And you'll see him go and make pretty blunt statements and then walk every one of them back. So that's going on. I wanted to talk about this for a couple of minutes. Commentary. Iraq endures the crucible and emerges transformed. Like, what? All right. July 2018 marks the one-year anniversary of the liberation of Mosul, a battle that tested the resolve of the Iraqi military and the Iraqi people. The road to Mosul was tenuous and fraught with hardship, and much like the greater struggle with the Islamic State, there were times when success was questionable. This is by Lieutenant General Paul E. Funk II. Now, who is General Funk? He is Commanding General, Combined Joint Task Force, Operation Inherent Resolve, U.S. Central Command, and the Commanding General of the 3rd Armored Corps at Fort Hood, Texas. The opinions expressed are his own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Military Times or its staff. So it's an op-ed piece he wrote. And, oh, by the way, he's still on active duty. So should we take it with a grain of salt? All right, so let me just cut to the end of what he has to say. For years, our Iraqi partners viewed themselves by their tribal, sectarian, and religious background first, with few feeling their country was what defined them. we now interact not with Sunnis, Shiites, or Kurds, but with people who identify themselves as Iraqis first and embody the patriotism associated with that moniker. Many of us previously held a pessimistic view of Iraq's future. We no longer hold that position and are optimistic for their collective outlook. The Iraqi people, for years divided along sectarian lines, endured the crucible of ISIS and exited the fire united with a common patriotic purpose. They have rejected external influencers, embraced an inclusive democratic process, and are building substantive relationships with their regional neighbors. For the first time, many of us are optimistic of their long-term success and confident that the Iraqi brothers and sisters we fought next to for so long are heading along the right path. The U.S. has stood with Iraq through its darkest times, and we are confident that the relationship we have built will last into Iraq's bright future. Yeah, you can read the whole article, the whole op-ed piece. It's in Army Times. The headline, commentary, Iraq endures the crucible and emerges transformed. We will see. We will see. Again, a lot of us hope, against hope, that that's the case. That something positive and stable can come out of Iraq. But Jerry Durant, who goes there on a regular basis, has said the people he's spoken to have said Iraq's only future is to be partitioned. So we'll see if General Funk's right. Hopefully he is. Because that's what, for years, but it was only under the threat of Saddam Hussein's violence that Iraq was that way. Right? When you took it off, you got, what did you get? You got a civil war. An insurgency followed by a civil war that was predicted by the war plan. So, anyway, one more story out of Military Times, Marine Corps Times. Taliban ceasefire halted fighting, but not the Marine Corps mission in the Helmand province. The brief few days of peace between the Taliban and the Afghan government was a watershed moment for the war-torn region when thousands of Taliban fighters entered Afghan cities to join government officials in celebrating the annual Muslim holiday of Eid, spelled E-I-D. The three-day ceasefire boosted hopes of ending the nearly 17-year war, with the U.S. largely relegated to the sidelines of an Afghan-led push for peace. By Sean Snow, former Marine, writes for Marine Corps Times. But in the backdrop of the peace talks, the Marine Corps is continuing its mission to rebuild Afghans' forces to eventually shoulder the entire burden of security in Afghanistan's most violent province, Helmand Valley, where a third rotation of Marine advisors is slated to arrive this fall to replace the current task force of nearly 300 Marines. The U.S. forces in the region agreed to abide by the ceasefire declarations with exception to, quote, U.S. counterterrorism efforts against Islamic State in Afghanistan, Al-Qaeda, and other regional and international terrorist groups, or the inherent right of the U.S. and international forces to defend themselves. And not all was quiet on the Helmand front at the outset of Ghani's ceasefire. U.S. aircraft conducted non-lethal shows of presence in both Ghazni and Helmand as the unilateral ceasefire began. So, anyway, hope in Afghanistan? Again, I would tell you that Secretary Pompeo's presence there leads you to believe that something's going on. All right, top five stories in Early Bird. Kind of interesting. I found it interesting anyway. The Army has a new physical fitness test on the way. And it's kind of an interesting one. All right. So let me go through the physical fitness test. Now, they'll adopt it in 2020. Here's what it looks like. Deadlift between 120 and 420 pounds, depending on the individual soldier. Okay. So these are all... they're supposed to be gender and age neutral, okay? You must do 3 repetitions in 5 minutes. So, again, without all the footnotes, not exactly sure, but deadlift between 120 and 420 pounds, depending, I would guess, on your weight and age. And you have to do 3 repetitions in 5 minutes. That's not much of a challenge, I don't think. All right, then you get a 2-minute rest. Then you do a standing power throw. You'll be required to toss a 10-pound medicine ball overhead and backwards. You'll have 3 minutes to make 1 practice throw and 2 for grades. The longest distance is recorded. So you're going to throw the medicine ball, a 10-pound medicine ball for distance. You're going to throw it forward and backwards. Then you get to rest for 2 minutes. All right, so far we've done 3 deadlifts, and we've thrown a medicine ball. Hand release push-ups. You lower your chest to the floor. You lift your hands off the ground between each rep. You'll be required to do the most reps you can in 3 minutes. Then you get another 2-minute rest. Next event, sprint drag carry. In 4 minutes, you'll go 25 meters out, 25 meters back, and you'll do that 5 times. Each iteration will include a different activity. Sprint is 1. Drag a sled is 2. 3, a lateral shuffle. 4, carry 2 40-pound kettlebells. And 5, sprint again. Then you get a 2-minute rest. Next is the leg tuck. You'll be required to hang from a pull-up bar with your body parallel. Right? So you're hanging from a pull-up bar. Then you pull your knees to your elbows for as many reps as possible in 2 minutes. All right? That's a pretty substantive core event. Okay? And then you have a 5-minute rest. Then after that, you run 2 miles on a paved track or level road. The maximum that it can take you is 20 minutes, which is pretty generous, right? At 60 years old, I'd go out there and do that right now. All told, the ACFT predicts within 80%, right, with 80% accuracy whether a soldier will be effective physically in combat. The old Army PFT predicted within 40%, which is a pretty bad percentage. The new test work-to-rest ratio is also 3 times that of the old Army PFT, which was generally broken up into sit-ups, push-ups, and a long break before the run. Now there will be continuous running clock with a 50-minute limit. So, Army new PFT. Interesting. A second story is the Polar Fitness story. So that story in the news. 3, has the Navy thought its new frigate through? A new report raises questions. The Navy, man. The Navy. Let me just tell you what the report says. The U.S. Navy is rapidly moving towards procuring the first hull in its new class of frigate in 2020. But a new report is raising questions about whether the Navy has done detailed analysis about what it needs out of the ship before barging ahead. Come on. The Navy may not have done an adequate job of analyzing gaps and capability shortfalls before it set itself on the fast track to buying the so-called FFG-X as an adaptation from the parent design. An influential Navy analyst, Ron O'Rourke, said in new Congressional Research Service report. So, disturbing. Because ships, you may not know this, they cost a lot of money. Yeah. A story that's been booming around, that without the footnotes, it's hard to know where truth lies in all of it. As the Army discharges immigrants, the Marine Corps is still allowing hundreds to enlist. More than 800 foreign-born prospective Marines will soon ship off to boot camp, despite reports that the Army is discharging immigrant soldiers who'd followed a similar path to military service in hopes of becoming U.S. citizens. The Marine Corps is still processing applicants with lawful permanent resident status, Gunnery Sergeant Justin Kronberg spokesman for Marine Corps Recruiting Command told Military.com, there's currently about 830 men and women born outside the U.S. in the Corps' delayed entry program. The Marine Corps has not discharged any of them due to excessive time in the pool awaiting suitability determinations, Kronberg said. Last week, the Associated Press reported the Army was quietly booting dozens of soldiers who joined the military and completed entry-level training with the promise that they'd qualify for U.S. citizenship. The story added new fuel to a heated ongoing debate over immigration. So you'll see it. The Marine Corps continues on its time-tested road of allowing people with legal status to serve, which is legal in the United States. So interesting. I don't know that we've seen all the footnotes for that story. And number five, U.S.-Afghan Special Forces capture the Islamic State de facto capital in Afghanistan. Now, the Islamic State is not a very big presence in Afghanistan, so I'm kind of curious that they actually have a capital. Yeah, that's like me having a capital in Canada. Well, Mac, you don't go over there very often. Yeah, I know. Don't go there often. And there's not very many of us there, but we got a capital. Anyway, U.S. and Afghan Special Forces on Sunday captured the Islamic State's de facto caliphate capital in eastern Nangarhar province of Afghanistan. Special Forces soldiers told the Voice of America that local nationals, who apparently were tired of Islamic State atrocities, requested support to clear Islamic State militants from the Gurguri and Papin villages. Boom. Done. That's going on. So you have that going for you. And then let me just do a real quick check. All right. Let's see. 8:58 here on a Tuesday. We'll take a break when we come back. The one and only Michael Musselman will be with us, and we'll talk to the gunner about what we've been talking about, kind of the theme of the program this morning, and that is alcohol. Yeah, pretty uncomfortable. So I'm not going to lie to you. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.